And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio, digital radio now. Big advancement for the mob here at 6NME 100.9 FM. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. And this program comes to you fortnightly from the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Certainly hope you can stay tuned for the next hour. We've got some big issues coming your way. And joining us in the studio, Green Senator Rachel Seward is in here, as is ALS CEO Dennis Eggington. And we're going to be talking about justice reinvestment. You might recall a couple of weeks ago we spoke with Rachel about justice reinvestment. Well, wouldn't you know it, a couple of days after that interview, the Greens came out with a very big announcement in this area. So we'll be talking more about that initiative and the proposal that's been put forward by the Greens. Going to be having a chat with ALS CEO Dennis about justice reinvestment also, but also about the recent report that was put out by the Inspector of Custodial Services, Neil Morgan. And a bit of a damning report. So we'll touch on that as well, and I'm sure Rachel will have some views on that also. In the second half of our program, chatting with Betty Campbell, who is the CLE, this Community Legal Education Officer for the Aboriginal Legal Service, about some upcoming workshops happening in Perth. If you're not aware already, we're now running monthly workshops and just providing information about the law, and there's one coming up later this month that is dealing just with scams. So we'll give you information on how you can come along to that in Perth, but also some regional workshops happening as well that we'll be finding out about. So I hope you can stay tuned. This is Noongar Radio and the Law Matters program.
Tell me why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby, cry. I can't help but love you till the day that I die. So tell me why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why.
Well, I got a crow I wanna pick with you. Just like the last time when the feathers flew. You're running wild, kicking up your heels, leaving me home with a handful of bills. Lord, I can't live without you, you know it's true, but there's no living with you, so what will I do? I'm going honky-tonk and get as tight as I can, and maybe by then you'll appreciate a good man.
Tell me why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby, cry.
Well, I don't know, but I heard say that every little dog's gonna have his day. You better pay attention, don't you dare forget, 'cause I'm just a little bitty puppy. Yeah, I caught you honky-tonking with my best friend. The thing to do is leave you, but I should've left then. I'm too old to leave you, but I still get sore when you come home, I'm feeling for the knob on the door.
Tell me why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby, cry. Why, baby, why?
No, he's pretty cool, isn't he? Troy Cassidaly and Why Baby Why. Here on Noongar Radio, this is the Law Matters program, and to the program right now, welcoming CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service, Dennis Eggington, for the last time, probably for a couple of months, Dennis, that we'll be having a chat with you.
Yeah, well, I'm on some holidays, which will be good for me and good for the family, it's always good to come in and have a yarn with our mob, and I'd like to just take this chance and opportunity to pay my respects to all our elders out there, past and present, and also acknowledge the Whadjuk and Noongar people whose country this radio station is on.
Also in the studio, and no stranger to the Aboriginal Legal Service, a lot of contact happens between the ALS and the Greens over the years, but Senator Rachel Seward, thank you for coming into the program today.
My pleasure. Good morning, and I too would like to pay my respects to the elders that are listening out there, and acknowledge that we're chatting today on Whadjuk Noongar land. Yeah.
Rachel, we'll start with you because we spoke to you on our last Law Matters program and we spoke pretty in depth about justice reinvestment and all the positives that can come out of it from a system that's clearly not working. A couple of days after that interview, the Greens made a big launch. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, we launched our policy. Actually, Penny Wright, who's our Green spokesperson on legal affairs, was in the Northern Territory with our candidate up there, who's Warren H. Williams. And she had the great pleasure of announcing our justice reinvestment policy with him. And because we so deeply believe that this is the way that we need to be going, we believe that we need to be investing. We've, at this stage, suggested an investment of $60 million in two ways. One, to get a national centre up that assists with and provides advisory services and research on justice reinvestment, but also $50 million to get some initial programs up off the ground to look at how we invest differently to help people, you know, at the front end rather than at the end, at the back end, which is in the criminal justice system, taking some of the money out of the criminal justice system and actually investing it in helping the most disadvantaged communities to help kids better parenting and to help kids at the front end, particularly with connection to culture, so that we can actually stop offending in the first place.
Dennis, CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service since 1996, it must have been very frustrating to see very little progress in this area with regards to embracing programs that actually are going to make a difference rather than just seeing more prisons being built, higher rates of Indigenous people behind bars and in courts. Justice reinvestment is certainly something that the ALS is supportive of, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's really a no-brainer for me to take our Social Justice Commissioner's words out of his mouth. That is that prevention is better than cure, and it's taken the justice system a long time. But then that's the Wadjila history of this country and how it started, and there just seems to be there's been a reliance on feeling that we've got to continue, this country's got to continue to those sorts of practices where you're not really healing the community or making it safer. You're just really punishing people and locking them up, and people have a false sense of security. They have a false sense of safety, and I can understand that that's been the foundations of this country over the last couple of hundred years, but it's time to change, and thank goodness that we've got people like Rachel and the Greens and other people who are now supporting a different approach to law and order in this country.
Rachel, how do you find it when you continually try to raise issues such as this on a local national platform? What response do you get?
At a national level, people go, yeah, we think it's a good idea, but the federal government's got nothing to do with it, which of course is nonsense. There are many ways they can influence this decision making. At a state level, unfortunately, this state government doesn't seem to want to meaningfully engage. I will acknowledge that the opposition has done quite a bit of work on this as well. When you talk to community get it. When you talk to people, they go, this seems to me to be a no-brainer, is that you invest at the early stages. Not only are you obviously keeping people, you know, you're keeping community safer, but actually you're helping people. This is about helping people and addressing those underlying causes of disadvantage. So to me, it's got a double, you know, you're double winners here. You're actually helping people and keeping people out of the criminal justice system. And we know that's so important because we also know that if people are having contact with the criminal justice system and offenders as a leaving the criminal justice system, they're likely to end. There's a high percentage of recidivism and people re-entering the justice system. So a buck invested in early development saves dollars in the long term, but also gives people better life outcomes.
You can't underestimate the effect, Dennis, that's going to have on the families on the home front as well, in terms of, you know, sometimes when you've got 9 out of 10 Aboriginal fathers are in prison on any given night, or, you know, 7 out of 10 juveniles are Aboriginal. To take those people away from that prison system that shouldn't be there is going to have positive flows on in terms of keeping families strong as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The outcomes are many faceted, including better education outcomes, better health outcomes, and of course, yeah, the social outcome with families together and being strong. You know, we can't underestimate the quick movement that this country could come in, full emancipation of the rights of our peoples, and the world's changing, the demographics of Australia's changing, and we need to be healthy, strong, and ready to take our rightful place in this country. And I think that is something that's is a driving force for us, is that as this country moves towards a proper settlement with our people, then we've got to be able to embrace us. For instance, the South West Land and Sea Council, whether you agree with the deal that they're doing with the state government, if that comes about, our Noongar community has got to have people ready to embrace that and run with it and make the very best of it. We can't do that if we've got, you know, diabetes and got health problems and we've locked up in jail the rate we are, and you know, we've got to do that. And I think that's that these sorts of approaches give us the chance to regain that wonderful happy, healthy families that we've had in the past.
Rachel, long history involved in politics, do you think that things are changing for the better in terms of embracing programs that are actually working in other countries that could be adapted here?
Unfortunately, I don't think things are changing fast enough. We know from evidence overseas that this process works. I really can't understand why other political parties and other people in government aren't seeing the value of this approach. It seems to me sometimes two steps forward, one step back. And you know, I was up in Garma actually when Mr. Abbott was there and he was making some policy announcements, and it seemed to me quite a lot of the past, reinventing the past. And unless we're learning from the past mistakes, we're not actually going to be moving forward. And I think we need to be learning from past mistakes. We know doing things business as usual is not working, so we need to actually be doing something different. We know having strong families works, and so it just seems to me very logical that we should be investing in keeping families strong, rebuilding families, and investing where we know money is needed.
I'm speaking with Green Senator Rachel Seward and Aboriginal Legal Service of WA CEO Dennis Eggington. I'm just curious that the same argument gets put forward all the time, that it's working in other countries, it can work. Why is it falling on deaf ears? Why isn't it being embraced?
I think part of it is because politicians want to be seen to be tough on crime, and therefore you're seen to be tough if you're throwing people in jail and keeping them there, completely ignoring the facts, and that is that you just get people re-engaging, coming back time and again, and you don't get safer for communities that way. You get safer communities by helping people out of, keeping families strong, helping people out of disadvantage, supporting mothers and their children early, you know, doing the early intervention in terms of investing where we know it makes a difference to families.
And I know people like Ted Wilkes, who has a very strong background in health, and also a previous association with the Legal Service, Denison, and quite frequently speaks out about the issue of justice reinvestment, and will be having a chat with us on this program in a few weeks' time. He would echo that, wouldn't he, about the positive effects on the health and wellbeing of our families?
Oh, absolutely. Once again, we've got the science behind that. We've had the science for a long time. We know when these issues start to develop, and we know how to fix them. It's just having the, as Rachel said, the political will to do it. And if you take the example of young mothers who, you know, our community is growing all the time. We haven't got the same. Birth and death rates as non-Aboriginal people. Unfortunately, you know, we're not living as long, but we're certainly getting the numbers up as far as young people being born. And those mothers, when the children are conceived, need the attention and need the support right back then. So we're looking at concepts that are, you know, from pre-birth right through to death as the concepts of how we, you know, get this prevention thing in, and you know, it's just there are no more histories where you can put people on tall ships and send them off to other countries into penal colonies. The space is not there. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. And we just cannot continue in this country to build bigger and more secure and greater prisons. And, you know, the prison in Derby is being espoused as being an Aboriginal prison. Well, you know, that's a shame. I mean, yeah, if our people are going to have to be locked up at the numbers that we are, and that's an injustice in itself, then we'd want to make sure that people are getting the best treatment, the best education they can during that period of time. But, you know, to give up and just to say that this is the way it's going to be is a terrible disgrace. And, of course, one of the prisons in the Northern Territory is the biggest costing prison in the Southern Hemisphere. So we just cannot continue to do that. There has to be a new way. And eventually it'll fall apart. But it won't be just a Banksia Hill issue. It'll be an issue across all of our prisons, across all of our facilities that hold people. And it won't be just in WA, it'll be Australia-wide, because it's a trend in this country that's just unsustainable.
It's a big industry, and it costs a lot of money to incarcerate a person for a day, a week, a month, a year, whatever. Justice reinvestment has been found to be cost effective. And it's interesting when you're saying, you know, maybe the politicians are saying, you know, we want to be tough on crime. Well, you would think that the community would embrace and demand that they embrace this if it's going to create safer communities.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that's when you actually talk people through it, they get it straight away. It, as I said, it seems to be a no-brainer. I think here, this is where we've got to be communicating with the community, and politicians who push the tough on crime approach are being false to the community, implying that it works, and it just doesn't. They're holding out false hope. They're not really addressing the issue. And to really address the issue, we actually need to be addressing, and this is a complex issue. It's been complex. The causes of underlying causes of disadvantage have been there for a very long time. There's not a silver bullet which the government tries to imply that there is. This is complex, and we need to deal with it in that way. And that means investing in the multiple causes, helping young mothers, helping people reconnect with culture. And so that's what we need to be doing. We need to be treating this with the issue with the respect that is needed, and that is acknowledge that we need to be working with a long-term aim, not short fixes, which is what governments in the past keep trying to do, is short-term fixes. Oh, yeah, 3-year funding program will fix it. Well, it doesn't.
So what are we going to see from the Greens in the future with relation to justice reinvestment, Rachel?
Well, we will continue to pursue this. I think I said last time Senator Penny Wright initiated and chaired the Senate Inquiry into Justice Reinvestment, came up with a number of recommendations, and our priority here is to get those recommendations implemented and pursue our initiative to governments across Australia, federal, whoever the new government's going to be, and state governments and territory governments need to be taking this issue very seriously, and we will keep pursuing them.
Have you seen a groundswell of support for justice reinvestment amongst supporters of it? People are talking about it more?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in 2008, I presented a workshop to the Federal Attorney Generals, and at that stage, no one really knew much about justice reinvestment, and, you know, some years later, 5 years later, we have, a major political party who is calling for a centre for justice reinvestment, a place to look at possible options of trialling justice reinvestment. We have come a long way with it, and that's very encouraging. I think our community has to send the general community has to send a very strong message to politicians, and this is the right time. You want us to vote you in, then you make sure that you create safer places for us, a future for our people. You know, the real issue, of course, people know that. They're out there doing it really, really tough. There are people who are making billions and billions of dollars from this country. They'll never need justice reinvestment, but it's all of the people that miss out on sharing that wealth. And, you know, our community has got some wonderful values in it, and we embrace those values, and they're about caring and sharing, and they're about respect. And And I think that that's something that Australia can learn from us. It's one of the fundamental principles of keeping a stable civil society. You share your wealth, you share your resources, you get people to a level. And in this country, when that gap's getting bigger and bigger and more people are being missing out and more people are being put in prison, the ungrowing and unrest of that is undeniable, but is something that we should address. And of course, the other thing, Jode, is that our community will continue to struggle for the rights of our peoples, our inherent rights as First Nations peoples of this country. And in doing that, we will continue to, where there's an injustice and an overrepresentation of our peoples in the prison systems like it is, or in the health area, then we'll continue to make sure that we express our views about the denial of our rights in this country. And it's immoral to continue to do what this country does to our people. And that's why I have got a lot of time and support for our sovereignty movement and our tent embassy people all around this country who really want to send a very clear message, and that is enough's enough. You cannot continue to do to us what you do now.
We'll return to Law Matters here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM with Dennis Eggington and Rachel Seward. we've still got Senator Rachel Seward on a particularly busy day for the Greens, but I guess, Rachel, all days are busy for you guys, but we've focused a lot today on our chats already with the importance of strong communities, and I guess in your line of work, you're getting to travel around a lot and see different programs in action and sort of think, oh my gosh, this is really exciting because this particular program is working for this particular community.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yes, I do. It's a great joy to be able to do that. And there's common threads through that. And one is that it's community driven, and it brings to mind the report that Professor Pat Dudgeon put out, I think it was last year, Hear Our Voices, which was a study of some of the Kimberley communities. And she made a whole series of really good recommendations, and it was about building culture where people have lost that connection, making sure it's programs are culturally appropriate, but also community control. And that's where you hear that everywhere around Australia. And, I hear repeatedly groups come to me and saying, can you help me get funding for this program because the funding's running out because the government's not going to reinvest or is not reinvesting enough. And those are nearly always those community-driven programs. And again, this is why this program is so, justice reinvestment is so important, because it should be investing in those sorts of programs that are community-driven and that particularly are about keeping culture strong, reconnecting with culture. And I know there's some programs in the southwest too that are about reconnecting people with culture.
It's so true, Dennis, isn't it, with community-driven programs? I mean, we were fortunate enough to be visited by about 17 students from the Tranby Aboriginal College in Glebe last week. And before the workshop got underway, because these guys came across over the west to just find out about different forms of Aboriginal organisations, what's happening here in Western Australia, and just going around the room for everyone to introduce themselves and talk about where they're from, who their mob is, why they're doing what they're doing, it just shows you in that little example of how diverse people and communities are. And there's not going to be one size for all, is there?
No, and there can't be. And that's why I think the need to embrace, for us to embrace nationhood, to embrace our extended family and clan groups into our nationhood is growing and has got lots of momentum, because I think that's exactly right. We're trying to get it right for our own people. And organisations like the ALS, which is a statewide organisation, grapples with that on a daily basis, on how best to deliver services in the metropolitan area, or how best to deliver it in, outside of Warburton. And people should be managing and running their own affairs. That's what we did in the past, and that's what we need to get back to.
I'm mindful that we're running out of time because you both have to sort of go separate ways and get on with the rest of the day. But before we do go, obviously a very important report handed down a couple of weeks ago by Neil Morgan, from the Office of the Inspector of Custodial Services, into the incident at Banksia in January this year. Important reports that OICs are putting out, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, we're just lucky that in WA that we've got an inspector for custodial services. When people around this country find out that that's the case, they immediately go back and start lobbying their own states and territories to get the same thing in place there, to, you know, have a someone who reports directly to Parliament, and doesn't have to announce whether they're going into a custodial service or a lockup is fantastic. And the call for an independent organisation that can keep its handle on police lockups, because that's where one of the reports said that lawyers are being denied access to clients in police lockups, is something that we support. And of course, at an international level, the protocols around OPCAT are something that we're trying to embrace, so that we can get some better assessment, better examination of our mob once they get into a police lockup, not so much into the prisons, because that's been handled really well, but it's those lockups which need examining.
And I guess we'll be keeping a very close eye over the coming months on the recommendations from that report to make sure that they're being implemented as well.
Yeah.
Rachel, the report, did you have the chance to sort of scour over it?
Only very quickly, I must admit. I've been so frantic on the election trail.
Yeah, you've got an excuse.
Yeah, I echo Dennis's comments in that it's so important that we keep an eye on and getting those recommendations implemented, because although we may be slightly better off than some other states, we still have very bad situation here, and it's quite clear that we need further action, because otherwise we're going to see we're not going to see the current situation improve.
Okay. Look, just in wrapping up, I know that for us mob at the ALS, we know what drives us to do what we do every day, and it's to try and redress that injustice that is faced by a lot of our mob, not just here in Perth or Western Australia, but all over the country. Rachel, as a woman and as a Green Senator, what motivates you on a personal and professional level to do what you guys do in social justice?
A deep sense of commitment to social justice and to help those that are most disadvantaged. Dennis again touched on it before, the huge gap between where our resources are distributed in this country and in this state is outrageous, and the historical disadvantage, the intergenerational trauma that has been caused, shocks me to the core, and it needs to be addressed.
Okay. Thank you both for your time on Law Matters for this fortnight. Senator Rachel Sewitt from the Greens, thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis Eggington, Aboriginal Legal Service. I guess we'll see you in a couple of months when you return from holidays.
Yeah, and, we will. And
All refreshed,
ready to go again. Can I also just take the opportunity to thank Rachel for her support and the Greens' continuing support for Mother Earth and, of course, our people and our struggles. So good luck in the election process, Rachel.
Thank you.
This is Law Matters 100.9 FM Noongar Digital Radio, and this is the Law Matters program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. This is Law Matters and Jodie Hoffman with you, and great to hear from Senator Rachel Sewitt from the Greens and Dennis Eggington from the Aboriginal Legal Service, and just good to sit around and yarn about some really, really important issues. And I can assure you that justice reinvestment is going to be something that people continue to be talking about. Welcome to the program right now, though. Betty Campbell. Betty is the Community Legal Education Officer for the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Betty, welcome to the program.
Hello, Jodie.
Have put a few requests in for you to come and have a chat, but it has been a very busy, busy time the last few months, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been very busy with lots of travel to the regions and various community events happening around Perth and Armidale and things like that. So
it's wonderful, actually, because we haven't been in the luxurious position for a few years of having a community legal education officer, or a CLE officer, we'll call it, just because it makes it a little bit easier. And basically the role of that is to make sure that we're involved in workshops, community events, running programs, seminars, a whole range of things to get important issues out into the community. And I know that yourself and one of the other lawyers from the civil unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service, Sarush Razi, headed up north a couple of months ago now and ran some regional workshops. It must be great to sort of get out and about and meet our mob from all over the state and talk about the law.
So Sarush and I went up to Kununurra and Wyndham at the end of June, and we ran some civil law clinics where people could come and have a chat to us about the problems that they might have been having, any civil law issues that came up. And we ran some community legal education on racial discrimination, and the response that we got was so positive, overwhelmingly positive, and everyone was really happy to see us, and you know, we took on a lot of clients from there as well. So it was just a really positive response and really productive for the ALS and for people in the communities to talk about their problems to someone who not only is willing to listen, but someone who can help them as well.
I think as well, you've got to get out from behind those four walls to get a greater appreciation for the diversity of communities, people, and the issues that are facing each community within the law. I'd certainly imagine that for yourself, only arriving in WA in the last 12 months, it's probably been a real eye-opener to be visiting some regional places and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, it's great to be here because this is now going to help me when I'm preparing resources that might be relevant for this part of WA.
And that's exactly it. Each time I go to a new place, there's lots of logistics involved. You've got to find somewhere to give you space to host the legal clinic, to give you the resources to provide refreshments, get people there, help you with the advertising, all kinds of stuff that's involved with it. And each time you go to another place, it becomes less of this abstract concept of out in the regions and more, well, I know this person in Wyndham and I know that person in Geraldton and I know all these people in Meekatharra, and it becomes this really interesting exercise in just working out who goes where and what they need and all that kind of stuff. So it is really interesting, and you're right, it's definitely not a job that you can do sitting behind a desk. I've been out and about quite a lot in the past few months, and I think I'm 50% of the time I'm out of the office. So,
and some of these workshops that have been run, well, some typical examples of some of the topics that you would go through would be stuff like racial discrimination or police complaints, negligence, inquests, human rights and civil matters, and also things like compensation for victims of crime. It's great that we've got a couple of lawyers like yourself and Sarush who are visiting these communities and people can just feel free to ask away.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say that, because the civil unit is trialling a new program where we have a lawyer from the civil unit go to one of the regions around WA, so the East Kimberley, West Kimberley, Pilbara, Goldfields, Midwest, Southern, all of it. And so we get out and we do this regional circuit where we go to the towns in that area and we provide a civil law service. So we come to your door, basically, or as close to as we can get. And so that's kicking off on the 2nd of September with a trip to the East Kimberley, where we'll be going to Kununurra, Wyndham and Collumbaroo. So that's going to be really good, because especially the Collumbaroo visit, it coincides with a community event that just sounds fantastic and really interesting, and that's going to be just this eye-opening introduction to culture in a really, you know, remote Aboriginal community. So that's an experience I'm really looking forward to.
Later in August, off to Junjunjara.
Yes.
Tell us where it is.
It is, or my understanding is, that it is 100 kilometres west of the South Australian border, basically in line with Kalgoorlie. So basically it's a 12-hour drive on a corrugated road.
Ooh.
So that's pretty...
Take a cushion.
Take a cushion, take a book, take an iPod. It's going to be an interesting trip. The Aboriginal Legal Service of WA is working with the Australian Research Council and James Cook University on a linkage project, and the purpose of that is to identify and analyse civil and family law needs of Indigenous Australians around Australia, with you know, the aim of developing successful models of service, improved responses, better access to justice and improved social justice outcomes for Indigenous Australians in those areas. And so that's part of this broad research program that James Cook University is doing with the Australian Research Council across Australia. And we helped them up in Wyndham and Kununurra, which is why we went up there the first time. So this time we're going to Junjunjara and Kalgoorlie. And really the idea of this project is to make sure that we're getting an accurate reflection of what Indigenous Australians really face. So it's one thing to come to Perth and say, look at all these services. People have lots of access. But in Junjunjara, there's about 120 people, you know, and there's a medical clinic and a community resource centre, and there are no lawyers. There's, you know, there's not much out there. So, yeah, it's to get a real positive feel for how we can get better services to places that really need them.
Okay, so a lot of regional stuff happening for the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And just a reminder to people that all of the information about these workshops, whether they're in Perth or regional places, do get put onto our website at www.als.org.au. So do keep an eye on there. The website's got a wealth of information also. It's got our pamphlets on there. It's got employment opportunities that come up from time to time at the ALS. It's got our media stuff, our newsletters. So do check out the workshop flyers on there and keep up to date, and we'll keep that as up to date as we can for you, because there certainly is a lot going on. I'm talking with Betty Campbell, the CLE officer at the Aboriginal Legal Service. We'll be back to talk about some workshops a little closer to Perth. This is the Law Matters program on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM digital radio. Jody Hoffman with you for about just under 10 minutes now, and with me in the studio is Betty Campbell, the Community Legal Education Officer with the ALS. We've been talking about some regional workshops that the ALS is running on the law, but also we did start running some monthly workshops in at the Perth head office of the ALS as well at 7 Aberdeen Street. And the first one came and went, the introduction to the Aboriginal Legal Service, and it was great to sort of see community people come along and organisations as well. I know we had a couple of people from the Law Society of Western Australia, we had a rep from ANTAR, community people, Joseph Wallum, who's been a guest here on the program from the Office of the Inspector of Custodial Services, and people are really interested. And what we do want to stress is that you don't have to work at an organisation to come along to these workshops. You might just be interested in it. Come along and find out more information. And the next one is coming up really soon. So what's that one?
Yeah, so we've got a monthly seminar on consumer rights and scams happening on the 15th of August, which is Thursday this week. And basically we've got Sarush Razi is going to talk to people about unsolicited sales and what your rights are. So when someone comes knocking on your door trying to sell you stuff and you don't want to, you know, what rights do you have to get them to leave? And, you know, if they do pressure you into signing something, what kind of consequences does that have? We also have Sam Discerney from the Australian Consumer and Competition Commission.
The ACCC, we'll call it.
The ACCC, yes. And he's the regional director, and he's going to do a presentation on scams, how to avoid being scammed, what to do if you think you might be scammed, and how to recognise what is a scam and what is a genuine request from someone you really care about, who really cares about you. So, you know, the idea of that is to help our community protect themselves against people who are going to try and take advantage of those of us who are good-natured and understanding about the plights of others. So that's really good. Next month, we're hoping to have a seminar on the Royal Commission into Child Sexual Abuse. We'll get someone from the Royal Commission to come and have a chat and just provide some information on what it is, how do you give evidence, who can you talk to, who's eligible to be involved in the process, and all that kind of stuff. So, I know that the Royal Commission is doing their best to get some information flyers and posters up at the moment, so they're in their early stages just now, and those will come out. And when they do, I'll be sure to make sure everyone knows and they can pop in and pick that up. So that's what's happening this month and next month. And in the future, we've got plans for all different topics, family law, child support, property settlement, you know, what happens if, you know, someone commits a crime against you? What do you do? How do we follow up on that? You know, what rights do you have? All kinds of different issues are going to be coming up in the next couple of years, so keep your ears peeled for the different seminars that we've been running in Perth.
And you know, if you are listening into the program, I think, oh, consumer rights and scams, that sounds pretty interesting, because we actually spoke a couple of weeks ago on this program with a woman called Delia Rickard, who was from the ACCC, and it was really fascinating to hear about some of the scams. And of course, we're in a new age now with technology, so these scams are happening online, on phones, in person, with people knocking on doors. And Delia gave a really great insight into how easy it is for any of us to be scammed. There's some pretty unscrupulous operators out there, and the thing is that anyone can be scammed. If it hasn't happened to you, maybe it's happened to somebody you know. So do head along to this workshop about consumer rights and scams, because it's not only just listening, you're also going to get your opportunity to ask any questions as well. So remember, that's on Thursday the 15th of August at the Aboriginal Legal Service. Remember, this program is repeated on Sunday night, so if you're listening on a Sunday night, it could have already taken place, but the date is Thursday the 15th of August for the scams, and then there'll be another workshop in September and another one in October. I'm making you very busy now, Betty, but there'll be, these workshops will just keep coming with different topics every month. Check out our website for more information, www.als.org.au. If you want to speak to Betty about the workshops and registering to come along, register so we put an extra couple of bickies on the plate, a bit more water in the kettle because refreshments are provided. What's the best number for people to call you on, Betty?
9265 6666.
Okay, 9265 6666. We've got a free call number as well that works from anywhere in the state, 1-800-019-900. Betty, when we speak to you next time, you'll have probably been to Junjunjara and Kalgoorlie, and you'll be able to come back on the program and tell us all about that. You're looking forward to it?
I'm really, really pleased to be given the opportunity to go to it. It's my understanding that Junjunjara is one of the most isolated Aboriginal communities in Australia, and you've got to be pretty lucky to get the opportunity to go there, because, you know, they don't just let anyone in. I'm absolutely stoked to be able to go on these trips, and yeah, I'll give you all the goss when I get back, I guess.
Okay, well, yeah. Thanks for joining us on Law Matters. Betty Campbell, Community Legal Education Officer with the Aboriginal Legal Service. We look forward to future chats.
Yes, thank you very much, Jodie. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio.
We're just about out of time on Law Matters for this fortnight, but thank you for your company. If you want any more information about what you've heard on the show today, please do give us a call or jump on the website and check it out. Remember also that our pamphlet range is all online as well at www.als.org.au. Heaps of information there. What do you do if you get arrested? Some information on family law, a whole range of stuff. And if you wanted anything sent out to you, we're more than happy to do that as well. So give us a call, 1-800-019-900 or www.als.org.au. From myself, Jodie Hoffman, thank you for your company. Look forward to it again in a fortnight's time here on Noongar Radio for more of the Law Matters radio program.